And that's the first thing they, to a new convert in a missionary Baptist church, they try to teach about baptism and what it is, because there are so few churches that are teaching it now. They just want to get people saved and then teach those people how to get out and get on fire for Jesus. And that's their whole mission program. We believe that, and this is what the American Baptist Association goes along with, and they word it in a way that it doesn't offend, and I can go along with this. We believe that a visible church of Christ is a congregation of baptized believers associated by covenant in the faith and fellowship of the gospel, observing the ordinances of Christ, governed by his laws, and exercising the gifts, rights, and privileges invested in them by his word. That his only scriptural offices are bishops or pastors and deacons, whose qualifications, claims, and duties are defined to the epistles to Timothy and Titus, are defined to be the epistles by Timothy and Titus. That's what you should strongly consider when you do something. So when someone comes to this church and after I've gotten to know them, I'm wrong about a lot of things, but I've seen a lot of people come and all they say, no, that doesn't make any difference, Brother Michael Murray, we'll be rebaptized. I never see him again. And I've had several dramatic cases like that. And so I know by experience and by what the Word says, and what the Word says being more important, baptism adds you to the church. In Acts 2:41-42, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. That's what happened when people got saved in the first New Testament church. Peter was preaching, and that's the way you get into the church. It's not the way you get saved. You better not get in that water and to be saved. I don't think you'll be saved if you go into that water thinking, now if I do this, I'll be saved. It's a very difficult decision to make in a lot of cases because a lot of people get their feelings hurt. And I don't know any preacher that particularly enjoys hurting people's feelings. They're added to the church. And then here they go, and they continued steadfastly. The key word is continued and steadfastly. It wasn't something that said, well, I go at least once a month to the Lord's Supper. I go at least on Christmas and New Year's. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Didaskalos, it's a word that means you continue in Jesus' teachings, because that's what the apostles taught. They taught the teachings of Jesus. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Now, what I'm going to say next is by experience. I go by experience in a lot of cases if it doesn't conflict with the Word of God. And if the Word of God bears witness to it, I'll recommend to the church that we receive it, and I'll try to tell them why. And in breaking of bread and in prayers. Sometimes the devil he's very cunning. And sometimes he splits churches because they won't let one member of the family join until they're satisfied that he or she is saved. And I've always tried to be very cautious about baptizing people that were saved at camp, because I've seen people go down an aisle and they show relief, But they don't ever show any type of action or conduct that I was able to detect that showed they had repented toward God and put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, and if you get saved, and there you are, and you don't have to be frantic anymore about the Lord discarding you and not setting you apart and not keeping you forever. If you don't continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and breaking of bread and in prayers, you know what? You still got a carnal nature. And Paul said he was still the chief of sinners, even after he had been scripturally baptized. And pretty soon, you think God doesn't love you? No, you don't think that. But you start worrying about your salvation again. You start worrying about it. You think God's causing you to worry about it? No, it's not God. It's your carnal nature. Your carnal nature, who is his God? Satan. What does Satan want? Well, he can't unsave you. So he just wants you to drop out of service and quit serving him. Your children that are lost, when they pass through the age of accountability, they look a lot at you, and they see what you do at home. They see what you do at work. They hear what you say when they're traveling. They hear both mother and dad. And you don't know how bad I felt sometimes when I would say something I shouldn't have said in front of them. And I shouldn't have said behind their backs either. But as they were growing up, after they were saved, I was growing up. And I thought I was teaching them, but I was learning myself at the same time. And teaching pretty much what I'm talking to you now about. He says, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. Then this is very clear. Though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. Disciplos. Those were the ones who followed him steadfastly. They continued. They taught the doctrine of Christ because they got their doctrine from Jesus directly. And fellowship, they continued in fellowship. And in breaking of bread, and I'm convinced that's not talking about a supper that they have at the church. I'm talking about the Lord's Supper. And in prayers. You know, I pray a lot more for people that I used to... Well, I'll just tell you, I didn't like them. I wasn't sure whether they were saved or not, but I prayed about it. And I suppose I could have applied the 490 rule, 7 times 70. But I finally just forgave them and went on. But the Bible says don't receive people to doubtful reputations. And sometimes people come to this church and they tell me what they believe, and they're already trying to teach some of the people in the church. And I just don't do anything else except tell them, now look, I'm going to tell the church what you believe. And then they're going to make the decision. But I said, what you believe is false doctrine. And they always leave. And we're not split down the middle, because some of them like them personally and some of them don't like them personally. And you've always got to choose sides. That's somewhere in the Ten Commandments. You must choose sides. Well, you must choose sides when it comes to whether you're going to let them stay in the body with unscriptural baptism. You're hurting them. Better that they get mad. Most of the times that I have learned anything is when I got mad. He left Judea and departed again into Galilee. It was leaving. In between there was Samaria. And that's where he told the woman at the well that, "Believe me, woman, the time now is, and it's coming, when men will worship Jesus, will worship the Lord in spirit and in truth." I'm not doing anyone a service if I use what little preaching ability I have, what's little is left. I probably did better when I thought highly of myself as far as people being attracted by it. But people are attracted by who Jesus was. There was a time, Kenneth, I liked you because you're a good old boy from Yale County. But when I look at you, I don't see a... I don't look at you like I first knew you. And I look at you as one of the firstborn. And I think we're going to be in the first resurrection. I believe that, and I'm going to be leading up to that as I go along in this thing. And I don't like Chuck because he's good looking. You are, and you know it, don't you, you booger? And that's why you married him, wasn't it? Yeah. Was you married an old ugly guy? No. But I like him because what I see is Jesus in him. And I realize Jesus didn't carry on like we do. But if you don't sin, you're living above it. And I'm not encouraging you that you're sin, but that's why I love the three of you for that reason. I love every one of you sitting here for that very reason. And it's not you that I see that's attractive. It's a spiritual attraction is by watching Jesus operate in you. Amen. It's by watching Jesus operate in you. A lot of times, poor young preachers, Lord, you don't know what we have to go through. We go to a church and people in there don't like us. We know we're trying to do what God wants. We know we make mistakes. But they haven't, some of them may not even be saved. I know in all the traveling I've done, you think I take credit for the people who get saved? If people get legitimately saved, God did it. If people don't get legitimately saved, I did it. And I've known preachers that could lure people down an aisle. They even got me under conviction. Jerry Miller used to do that all the time. I'd preach revivals for him, and man, that guy could just get you feeling so guilty and rotten you'd want to crawl under the pew. But finally, I realized it's the Word of God that does the convicting. So how are you going to worship God if you're not worshiping in spirit and in truth? You're not worshiping God. It's hypocrisy. And somebody that doesn't have scriptural baptism, you can teach them forever, and they won't get it until they finally just realize, I got to have somebody save me. And then that's why so many people sometimes come down an aisle, make a profession of faith, because that's what their family's always done. I know one woman I've known for years. Years and years and years. And I'm still not sure she's saved. But I preach the word. Now I believe I've learned it to the extent that I don't teach anything except the truth. And God knows I'll quit preaching something that isn't the truth when I find out about it and just eat my lumps. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth an excellent work, a good work. There are two words that are used quite often, kalos and for good. And a bishop is really the pastor. And I don't mind people using the word bishop. It's right there in the Bible. But it's really a pastor. And according to the scriptures, the Lord left evangelists in the church. Some people are natural evangelists. Some people are not natural evangelists. I'm not a good evangelist, except in the sense that it's meant. I ask God to use me in every situation He wants and to let me know what to think and what to feel and what to do when I talk to people about the Lord. And Kenneth is a natural evangelist. He really is. He's just natural at it. But he's a preacher. And the Granville Sharp rule in the Bible, when it describes the ones that are left in the church, evangelists were left in the church. You say, well, do you ordain evangelists? No, we don't. And you say, it's natural. And you'll find that there's lots of things in the church that God gave people different abilities, knowing He would one day use them. I tried being an evangelist, but when I went on all these trips, I was teaching the gospel, and I was teaching events that were going to happen in prophecy, and I was teaching, and I was telling people, I may be wrong about the prophecy, but I am not wrong about what the gospel is, and I am not wrong about what a church should do to be one of God's churches. So I think the important thing is to keep your cool. And Kenneth and I think have learned to do that. He desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless. The word blameless means there's nothing in his character that would people could use as a weapon against him. And when Kenneth's wife, first wife, left him, I don't think that God looks down on a man that keeps on presenting the gospel. And he's not an ordained minister. But the thing I've always loved about Kenneth, when that happened, he did everything he could. It's a wild situation. The Lord said, forgetting those things that are behind, I press toward the mark for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Ken's a friend. I can talk with Ken about things. I can do what I'm doing now, and it's just that way. But Ken, this is what really impressed me. He said he was going back and forth to seminary with me. And he said, I don't think I ought to pastor anymore. He said, I think the pastor ought to be ordained. When he did that, that really impressed me. But I don't see anything wrong with a pastor that's still preaching the gospel, teaching the word to people, that's teaching hope, faith, and love, and has been saved by the grace of God. He didn't know. He said, I'm not qualified. Well, I appreciate that. What about a man who comes and says, well, Mike, do you think I did the wrong thing? There aren't any kids here. You're not a kid back there in the back. You're a full-grown young man. So I don't feel bad about saying what I'm going to say. I've known this guy for a long time. He'd been seen going out of known prostitutes, zipping up his pants. And he came to me and he said, Mac, you think I ought to keep preaching? I said, I don't think you should. I said, I think you ought to keep going to church. But he was unfaithful to his wife several times. On these trips I went, I had preachers saved. And sometimes I had a hard time understanding that until this split rapture got firmed up. But you know, in some cases, there's a lot of people, not a lot, but there's some. I'll change that to a few missionary Baptist preachers that to this day, they get saved. You haven't got as much experience as I have of going all over the country and all over where our missionaries are. And one of the sweetest missionaries I ever knew. And I really liked his wife. And it was Joel Cobb. I can't locate Joel Cobb now. I'm sure he's out somewhere doing mission work, but I don't know where he is. His wife just flat ran off with another man. And I stayed with him. I was over there twice. And something's wrong here. And you say, well, what is it? Well, it could be that she just never was saved in the first place. Because even the man that got all wild and excited when he first received the truth, I think that first fellow was saved on the parable of the sower. He didn't last very long. I think people like that are generally saved. There is a reaction, and it is there, and it is visible. And for a while, they just go along, and you don't see them doing anything that would violate what Christ taught a preacher was supposed to be. But I've seen too much of that. So in this church, am I really doing that fella, that woman, any good by saying, well, we'll just see whether you're saved? No, that doesn't work. You sit down, you talk to them, and you tell them, look, you may be saved. I don't know. But I said, there are some things I'd like to talk to you about. And I said, I'm going to talk to you about being rebaptized, even though it may be scriptural in God's eyes. Because I said, it's a doubtful thing. And you have a doubtful reputation. I said, and I'll talk to them about some things I know in their life. I said, you say, well, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't make the decision. I don't make the decision. I leave that up to them. But the truth is, I went through it. And when I came out on the other side, I was just as called as I was when I got saved. But God wasn't going to let me preach until I got my baptism right. And so here I am. You say, well, it sounds like that's a pretty hard job you got. Tell me about it. You say, do you feel sorry for yourself? No. I feel thankful to God that He let me examine my own self before I started making decisions and would state my opinion to the person themselves about it. Sometimes they stay. And I think they're saved, but there's a question about it. And I talked to them about being rebaptized because I want to be sure. And you know what? God doesn't bother me about that. And if I stop doing that, God would bother me. He does. And so it's just a hard thing. But right here, sitting here tonight, you're just like me. You're a sinful human being. And you know the Lord is your Savior. You're trying to do what's right. And you admit to yourself, sometimes I'm jealous. Sometimes I'm get mad. Sometimes I had a bad day. And I take it out on summer. I had lots of bad days. I took it out on poor old Imogene. I tell you what, you need to. Men, I think, were chosen to present the gospel because they're weaker than women, than most women I know, that really their desire is toward their husband. And sometimes we make them punching bags. I don't mean we hit them. I mean we take out our frustrations on them. And usually on Father's Day, I preach a message about that because God's forgiven me. Oh, He's forgiven me. And every time I start asking Him to forgive me again, I always say the same thing. Lord, I know You've forgiven me. I know Imogene's forgiven me. Lord, I know that I'm completely forgiven. But I said, it's awfully hard to forgive yourself. And so a lot of times, preachers especially, never realize what a good wife they have. And they get divorced because they're not worth the plug. They're not worth being shot. I've known a lot of them. And the only thing that saves me sometimes from going back and not forgetting those things that were before, because I know God's forgiven me, is because if we're going to have a contest on who's the worst, it's not me. I've seen too many. And I always love and appreciate those who don't more. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife. And if his wife dies, he can marry again. I have no desire whatsoever to be married again, because Imogene for me broke the mold. I could never love another woman like I loved her. And I've never known anyone in my life like her. So it's never even crossed my mind to get remarried. Doesn't have anything to do with sex or anything else. You say, well, aren't you proud of yourself? No, that's just the way it is. Vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, hypomene, enduring, nor a brawler, nor covetousness. One that ruleth well his own house. You know, I learned a lot from Imogene about how to raise kids. And I learned most of it from the Bible. But she never had any trouble accepting it. Not a novice. She had all those brothers and sisters. Lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without. I guess the worst wound I ever had was not too long back. Lest he fall into reproach, shame, and the snare of the devil. If people don't believe what you tell them, that's the most horrible thing that can happen to a pastor. He knows he's not guilty. He knows he could have probably done a better job, but he understands that. Likewise, must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued. Our deacons here, Brother Shipley, and who's with the Lord, and Robert, they weren't double-tongued, aren't double-tongued. Not given to much wine. Well, it might have a little every once in a while. No. A preacher, a little is too much nowadays. Because people are looking for a way to get out of serving the Lord. And I know I'm an authority on this. I love wine. You say, well, you don't love God. I love God more than wine. But I love wine. I love Chateau Mauvoisiliac. I drank that when I was in the war. And, well, the war that between France and Morocco. But not greedy for filthy lucre. Well, not guilty. Not guilty. You say, well, you think you're perfect. No, that poor old boy that came up to the Lord and said, I've done this, I've done this, I've done this, I've done this. And Jesus didn't correct him. He said, that's good. But then he asked him in an indirect way to give it all up. He just wanted good things. And he didn't want to have to put up with the inconvenience of serving God. Being found blameless. And let those also first be proved. When someone comes here from another Missionary Baptist church, sometimes I don't ask them about being a deacon for a while. We'll have it on that card. And after they've been here for a while, I'll ask them if they'd be interested. And because I haven't found anything in them, they haven't robbed a bank or anything, and they have a good wife, and he's a good husband to her. He's may have a bad temper, but he changes. Even so, must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. I think we've got quite a few women in this church that are like that. And I'm very proud of them, but I'm not near as proud as the Lord is. A man that's trying to pastor a church and is trying to know if he should recommend the man to be a deacon that came in here from another church, he ought to think about it, pray about it. And when it says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, it's the evil one. But deliver us from the evil, it's the evil one. God doesn't lead us into temptations to put us in a position of where we're going to sin, and he knows it, and he just doesn't help us at all. What God does is teach us when something happens and you start losing your cool, you better believe he's going to let you know. You better think this over. And let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so, must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their own, ruling their children and their own houses well. Now, after your children reach a certain age, I don't know. I don't know what that age is. But they're not children anymore in the sense that they're safe. But they grow up. You've tried to raise them correctly. You've prayed about it. God knows you want to see them saved. But you can pray about it till the cows come home. And after they've left and gone out on their own, keep praying for them. But don't expect miraculous results. Because I say this mostly from experience. I wouldn't be sitting here in this chair if I hadn't seen Jesus in my grandparents, in my mother, in people I knew and loved in the school and in service. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm glad I finally learned all of his names, not all of them. But you say, well, that's not going to do you any good. He says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, right, of dividing the word of truth. I'm not telling you have to go to a seminary. You got God's word. You got the Bible. And the King James translators in some places knew to put a capital W on it. In other places, they didn't put it on there. But does it make it valid or invalid? They left it out. You say, well, Brother McNamara, why are you telling us that? You need to grow up. Now let me tell myself something. Tom, you need to grow up. You say, well, you're saying everybody needs to grow up after you're saved. But until you actually begin to realize Jesus did it all, and you come out of hiding, you lose your desperation about going to hell. You don't lose it before you get saved, but you just give up and throw your hands in the air and come to the Lord, and he saves you. You know it, because all of a sudden, if you continue in the faith, you'll learn a lot more about yourself, and you'll learn a lot more about him. And it's 4 minutes after, so I'm going to quit. Chuck, you want to dismiss us?